You have your copy of God's Word. I want to encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 19. That's where we're going to be today in our time. While you're turning there, I just want to get you thinking a little bit. Have you ever thought about the pace of growth? How many of you would be honest enough to be able to say that you've looked at something that you wanted to grow or something that you wanted to progress and you were frustrated about how slow the growth was or the progression was? Okay, that's how we're going to be today. Okay, that's cool. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Denise. Thank you. All right, I kind of was feeling that while I looked up here, but okay. Like, we're allowed to be frustrated with how things, sometimes they don't go at the pace that we want them to go, right? And so, but think about just humanity, even the birth and the way that somebody grows up, right? There's this like crazy entrance into the world and there's instantaneous growth and then they grow really fast. And then after they hit that, then it's kind of slow incremental growth that you can't see day to day over the course of days and over the course of months and over the course of years. And before you know it, growth happened. But growth is low and slow. And you can't manufacture it. A lot of times the pace of growth is slow. Right? But we try to modify it, right? We live in this day and this age where we want things fast. We want things in a hurry, right? So our phones have done that to us. Our internet speed has done that to us. We want things fast, quick, fast. And if it doesn't happen fast enough, we move on to the next thing, right? So we're being conformed to the way of this world because we expect things to happen fast. So much so that, you know, if the food that we plant doesn't grow fast enough, then people have injected it with stuff so that it plumps up faster. And is that good for us? I don't know. Right? Professional athletes or other people that wants to be able to put on quick growth and be able to get faster performance may take some illegal substances to be able to get bigger, faster, stronger, better. But in the long run, they may see this explosive growth. But what does that do to the body? Deteriorates, destroys the body. Quick growth isn't always good. Man, we use the microwave, but what the heck is the microwave doing to us? I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just getting us to try to think about, man, we want things fast, but is fast always the best? Right? We have this expectation even with how we go about life. Right? We go to school and we get a degree and we think that just because we have this degree, which gives us the ability to do something, it doesn't mean that you are good at that thing. So just because you get the certification to be able to be a teacher doesn't mean that you are an amazing teacher. I'm not knocking on anybody. But how do you become a really good teacher? Low and slow, over the course of many years, you learn and you grow and you become a great teacher. Right? We think about it within marriage. Right? Our culture just pumps up and prioritizes just, well, actually it doesn't, but we have this priority. That's another sermon. Okay. All right. It's a whole nother series, actually. I don't have time for that. We go to marriage, it's all about, man, just getting to the day. And I just want to be married. I just want to become a husband or become a wife. But then all that anticipation, a lot of times, just fizzles. So just because you stood there and you said, I do, and you sealed it with a kiss, does that make you a good husband or a good wife? No. How do you become a good husband or a good wife? Low and slow, over the course of many years, through failures, through I'm sorries, through learning, through growing, through changing. Growth comes slow. Even parenting. A lot of people just want to become a parent. And so just because you have a child, does that make you an amazing parent? No. How do you become a better parent? None of us would probably say that we're good parents, amazing parents. We're probably like, man, I'm just aware of all my flaws. Okay, it's okay. Grace. Okay. But how do we become a better parent? Low and slow, over the course of failures, over the course of a lifetime. Right? We bring this into our mentality of spiritual things too. We think, man, I just had this experience. I'm convinced in my head, heart, and in my soul that Jesus is Lord. I prayed a prayer. Boom. Is that important? Absolutely. But where does the depths of what Jesus invites us come into? Is it in this moment? The moment is like the birth, man. It's an amazing start. But how do you grow as a Christian? You become more like Christ slowly, one step at a time, day by day, month by month. Growth is slow, but we want that thing fast. We want that thing so fast. But what I want us to consider is that how is the pace of your life affecting you? How is the pace of your life affecting you? I mean, we want things fast, quick, hurry. How is that affecting even your soul? And so what we're doing as a family is we're striving to be able to learn how do we become more like Jesus. We're not content with people that just prayed a prayer and that's it. That's amazing if that's where you are, but let's go. That's not the end point. That's the beginning of this invitation that Jesus calls apprenticeship to following him. We're not content with just the level of spirituality that we see. Man, God has saved us for something more. And so we want all of you to be able to taste that and to be able to walk in the fullness of all that God has called you to be. But how do you become that? Slowly. And that's infuriating to us. But it's also liberating. And so my hope is that as we walk through Luke 19, I want us to be able to notice the pace at which Jesus walked. The pace in which God walked was the pace of relationships. God moves at the pace of relationship. Not productivity, not experience, not doing more, not being all things to all people, but Jesus walked at the pace of relationship and is inviting you and me to do the same. And so let's walk through Luke 19 and then I'll give us some observations about how this applies to our life. And so Luke 19, starting in verse 1, says this. He, talking about Christ, entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So what's going on here? So we notice, all right, that Jesus is, he enters into this busy city, Jericho, and what does it say? It said he's passing through. So, question would be, what is he passing through to go and do? That would be a really good question if you're asking that. And so, to be mindful of what would be on Jesus's heart and mind as he was doing this act of walking through this city, and all you have to do is look a little bit further in the same chapter in Luke 19, and you can see that just a little bit further down is the triumphal entry. It's what we commonly celebrate on Palm Sunday, when Jesus enters into the city and is shouted as the one, Hosanna, God is coming to save us. So what does that mean that Jesus is about to enter into? His last week on earth before he's about to be brutally crucified. So would you say that there's a lot on Jesus's mind? Yeah, there's a whole lot on Jesus' mind. He knows everything he's about to walk into. So he's got a lot that he's rolling through. Man, he had how many conversations that last week? Can you only imagine? He's like, man, these fools that are following me, they're not getting it any way I tell them. I got to think about how am I going to communicate to these disciples? How do I communicate this? Right? So can you just imagine, man, he's rolling through. What am I going to say at the Last Supper? How can I get them to understand this? So he's rolling through. When Jesus walked through a place, was he ever alone? Oftentimes he's bombarded by people. So even just think, as he's walking through the city, he's being surrounded by people. Okay? So we know that Jesus loves people, but do you think that he was constantly reminded of, hey, Jesus, I need you to heal this. I need you to heal my daughter, right? People ran to him. So can you just imagine, Jesus is walking through this city. He's mindful of all the things to come. He's being bombarded by the crowd. We know there's a crowd because Zacchaeus is too short to see, so he's trying to get up high so he can see him. Right? So just picture this. Did Jesus have every right to be able to just keep passing through the city, to keep focused so that he can prepare himself for the week to come? He would. That's how I would operate. I get overwhelmed with a lot of people. I take a holy nap on Sunday afternoons, just so you know. I love you guys, but then I go home and I sleep, and then people come over later, and it's awesome. But I need that little break. So I can imagine that Jesus probably was the same. He would have loved to be able to just get alone. But what do we notice? In all of that hurry, Jesus walked at the pace of relationship. He wasn't too busy in what he was about to accomplish to see that one hurting man, right? We go through and we can learn a little bit about Zacchaeus, right? He was a chief tax collector. He was rich, so he's wealthy. It's interesting to be able to see here that if you go back to Luke 18, is when Jesus has this interaction with a rich young ruler, another wealthy man who walks away from Jesus because he wants his wealth. But now Luke is trying to help us to be able to see that just because somebody is wealthy doesn't mean that God isn't going to redeem them. So we get this picture of this man who has all the things, the worldly things, and yet he's still hurting. And he's like, I got to see this man, Jesus. Why do you think that he wasn't allowed to go up to the front row while Jesus is walking through? You think people liked him? No, they didn't like him. You guys are allowed to interact at me. It's okay. I don't have my bulletproof vest. Some of you guys are shooting bullets at me with your eyes. Right? These people didn't like Zacchaeus. They didn't like him. He was overcharging them. He was taxing them. They didn't embrace him. So he's an outcast. He didn't have a place to be able to go. And so there's something going on inside Zacchaeus where he's like, I just have to see this man, Jesus. It's almost as if God the Father was softening Zacchaeus' heart to be able to be ready for Jesus to come. And so God the Father is orchestrating all these things inside of Zacchaeus' heart. Jesus is being faithful with what's going on in the hurry, in the busyness, in all the chaos that he's doing. And yet, what is the pace at which Jesus walks? He walks at the pace of relationships. He sees this man up in a tree and he stops. And because he's walking at the pace and he's valuing people, he's walking with the Spirit. Jesus is like, yo, I'm coming to your house. Well, can you imagine what the disciples were like? Yo, Jesus, we're stopping? I thought we were passing through. We have to get over there. They're waiting for us. And Jesus is like, no, man, we're stopping at his house. So Jesus stops. He's aware at the hurt and the pain inside of Zacchaeus. And they go to Zacchaeus' house. And over the course of that time together in his house around the table, what happens? Zacchaeus is convicted. And Zacchaeus is welcomed into the kingdom of God. Salvation came to that house that day. And so, what do we see? We see that God moves at the pace of relationships. But what does that mean for you and for me? It's a really good question. So I've got three things for us. So the first thing, man, we need to slow down. We need to slow down. So how do we move at the pace that in which God moves? We have to slow down. And so, disclaimer, I am not going to answer all of your questions here. This is the amazing God that we serve. Is that what I'm asking you to do is to maybe be able to be honest with the Spirit of God before you and say, God, how do I need to slow down? You ask the question. Because it looks different from all of us. We're not all called to be able to stop and create a monastery. Same thing for women too? Is it still a monastery? No, something else. But a woman thing. Right, we're not called to just pull away from culture and just only sit around and read our Bible, right? But what does it mean? What does it mean for you to slow down? I mean, how many times? What does it mean for you to walk at the pace of Jesus? How many times do you have interactions with people throughout your day and you just blitz on through them? How many times do I do that? And somebody is right in front of me, and I'm more concerned about the 20 things I have to do beyond that person that I'm not even present with the person in front of me. Did I just miss Zacchaeus? Because I'm walking at the pace of productivity. I'm walking at the pace of my life. What does it mean for you to be able to slow down and walk at the pace of relationships? Because look, this is the profound thing. When we slow down to the pace of Jesus, we create space for people to be seen, to be known, and to be loved. Right? Zacchaeus was overlooked. He was an outcast by everyone. Now under his own doing. Right? But he still didn't feel seen. So Jesus says, hey, I see you. Come here. A time when Jesus goes to his house and shares the meal is a time for him to be known. Right? Jesus didn't, I am persuaded that Jesus didn't sit there and have this 3-point sermon about this is what you need to believe to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. I guarantee you, and I'll be willing to be wrong, but I guarantee you that Jesus just listened to his heart, listened to what was going on in his life, allowed Zacchaeus to be able to feel known. And then when Zacchaeus shared his stuff, he felt loved. He felt embraced by God. And it was in that that he's welcomed into the kingdom. So when we slow, when you and I slow down to the pace of relationships, we help the people all around us to be able to feel seen, to feel known, and to feel loved. And that is the space in which the kingdom of God moves. Now, this is crazy depressing, right? Came across this statistic. 54% of people in the United States do not feel like one person truly knows them. 54% of people in our country do not feel like they have one person in their life that fully knows them. So allow that to sink in. Half of this room, it's half of us, don't feel like we have one person in our life that fully knows us. Okay, so allow the Spirit of God to allow you to feel the gravity of this. So this is why this is so important. This is why we're pressing into this as a church family. Man, what are we doing as the church, as the representation of God on this planet? What does that mean for friendship? How fast are we living that we don't even have a friend that we know knows us and loves us? Are we living too fast for friendship? To be able to go through hard times and not have the answer for everything, but to be able to just look across the table and say, man, I see you. I have no idea what you're walking through, but I'm here. To be able to be seen in the crap of this world. Man, we need that. We're not supposed to do this by ourselves. But 54% of our country feels like no one sees them. Man, we got to walk at the pace of relationships, man. Let's be better friends. But man, more than that, think about marriages. Man, 54% of the people in our country don't feel like they have one person that knows them. What the heck are we doing in marriages? It's not about this thing, this cutesy party that you throw and then you just go and live your own lives. That's not what God intended with marriage. God intended marriage to be able to be this bonding, this union of two, one man, one woman, unified before God, to be able to grow in the knowledge and love of each other, pointing each other to God so they become more like God on this planet. But man, if we don't even feel known and loved in our marriages, man, that's where we start. That's where we start. If you're like, I don't even know how to start with this pace of relationship, man, you start right there. Square one, your marriage. Right there. But if that doesn't shock you enough, we're walking too fast for friendships, we're walking too fast for marriages, I mean, our kids. Our kids, 54% of our kids don't feel known by one person. What do kids do when they don't feel loved and seen and accepted? They wild out. They do some crazy stuff to be able to find that acceptance from other people. And so, man, church, don't hear condemnation, but just let's wake up, man. We need to move at the pace of relationships because our kids need us. Our kids need you. You know, this crazy idea, maybe God placed the kids in your life for a reason, so that you would be able to be a representation of God in their lives, and that you would love them in a world that doesn't love them. That you would walk with them through life, not necessarily agreeing with every decision they make, but you are there for them through the hurt, through the pain, through the failures, and they know no matter what happens that you are there and that you love them. Are we too fast? Are we walking too fast for the pace of relationships in our lives? Man, that's an amazing place for us to start. And I know that this is a sensitive thing because there's a lot that's out of our control. But man, we can control what pace we are walking at. So are you too busy for the relationships in your life? Let's slow down to be able to be seen and known and be used of God to change people. So we got to slow down. The second thing, man, we got to sit down. Slow down and sit down. Man, Jesus had a million things that he could have been doing. But what did he choose to do? He chose to sit down to have a meal with Zacchaeus. And so what does that tell us? And it tells us that we need to embrace our limitations. I might as well just curse at you. You can't do it all. And you know you can't do it all, but you still try. I still try. Listen, Jesus had, can you imagine how many people he could have spent that night with? But yet he slowed down, he saw that there was hurt, and he sat down. He limited himself so that he could be there for Zacchaeus. Man, that's a great model for us. Man, for us, man, you cannot be all things to all people. But you can be somebody for someone. You can't make space for everybody, but you can make space for somebody. And so there is power. Now listen, if you're tuning out, then tune out after I give you this next minute, but zone into this next minute because this is important. When we embrace our limitations, what we're doing is we're actually walking in the strength that God has created for us. You cannot be me, I cannot be you, but I can be an amazing God-submitted me. So I can love my son with all that I have. I can love my wife with all that I have. I can love the teenagers that God has put under our charge and in my life. And I can spend time with some of you as I have capacity. I gotta be me. I cannot be all things to all people. You cannot be all things to all people. But I can't be the spiritual leader of Chris's household. But Chris can. I can't influence the place that he works. But Chris can. I don't know half the people on Kane's baseball team. But you do. So as we begin to focus in and not necessarily be like, man, I can't do all of this, but ask God, hey God, who are the people that you've placed in my life? Who is it that I need to embrace to bring in the rain? Who is it that I need to pour into? I will embrace these limits so I can reclaim my kingdom position. Listen, last week we talked about stomping out the enemy. We're not going to stomp out the enemy and destroy the darkness if we're all trying to be what everybody else is wanting us to be. But listen, as I begin to reclaim what God has called me to be, then I inspire Charles to stand up. I inspire Lexi to stand up. I inspire Lily to stand up. I inspire all these other people to begin standing up, and you begin to take your role and you begin to do it. But we have to slow down so that we can sit down with the people that God has put in our lives and we can show off the glory of God. Slow down. Sit down. And the third thing, man, we are fascinated right now as a church family about how Jesus uses the table. Jesus didn't walk through the streets trying to persuade people to follow him. People came to him, and he showed how he was the healing for their hurt. And a lot of times, it was around a table. And so we can learn, as we're striving to be able to be better followers of Jesus, man, we slow down so that we can sit down around the table, and then we're going to reclaim this for the kingdom of God. Man, praise God that Jesus slowed down to be able to sit with Zacchaeus. Because it was in the home that Zacchaeus was welcomed into the family of heaven. Jesus changed lives over meals, and he saw that the table was not just a place to eat, but it was a place to meet people where they are. So all of us, man, what are we supposed to do with this? I'm just asking, is the pace of your life helping you to be able to be a better follower of Jesus? Is the pace of life helping you to be able to love your family well? And are you being intentional with using your table, using meal times, using opportunities to sit face to face with people? Not with this memorizing the Romans Road. All those things are great. But man, where do people be convinced of the power of Jesus? It's by you helping them to be able to be seen, known, and loved, and point them in their pain to the only one that can help them. You might not be able to stand up here and preach, but you can sit at your table and you can be able to talk about how Jesus healed you. And so for us, man, let's do that. Let's be that for our family. It's hard. I know it's hard. The chaos of life, all of the, sometimes we just get so caught up in the ordinary. We get caught up with the washing of dishes and the just putting food on the table. It's crazy. But listen, when we slow down to be able to walk at the pace of relationships, watch this. There is power in the ordinary. Because you got to clean up the mess that your kids make regardless. Right? Kids are messy. Right? It's crazy. No matter how many times I sweep up, Gideon just makes a mess. There's just fish on the floor all the time. I don't understand. It smells horrible. Try to clean it up. Right? And I can allow that to irritate me, and I can stress out and be like, man, I got to clean this up. Why do I have to clean this up? All this stuff. Or I could begin to be able to slow down and say, God, thank you for my son. Thank you for placing my son in my life. And so it scares me because I want to be able to steward him well. I want to point him well to you, but thank you for this mess because it reminds me of what's going to happen to my life if I walk away from you. It's going to remind me of what's going to happen if I don't bring you into this beauty of fatherhood. If you don't lead me, I'm going to mess this thing up, God. So thank you for this mess. Walking at the pace of relationships helps us to be able to connect with the people that God's placed in our lives. So for you, man, maybe you're here today and you're still new to this whole Jesus thing. You don't even know if you have a relationship with God. Man, the invitation of Jesus to Zacchaeus is there for you. Man, the God of the universe that created all this, and he sees you. He knows you're hurt, and he loves you in it. So would you invite him in? Would you welcome him in? And man, maybe today is the day that you need to make that happen. And so you can pray right there in your seat. While we're about to sing a song, man, you can come forward and I can help you understand. The person sitting right next to you, they might be really afraid of me right now for saying this, but the person right next to you, man, they can help lead you to the Lord. Don't allow this moment to be able to pass. This could be the moment in which you finally understand who God is for you. But for those of us that have been walking with Jesus for a little while, don't miss the beauty of that same invitation. Because you might be just sitting here like, oh great, so Chris just told me that I need to basically quit my job, stop doing this. Listen, that's the forces of the devil just warring for your mind. Listen, this is the beauty. The invitation for all of us is to walk with God. To slow down and say, Jesus, I don't even know what this first step is. Will you help me? Man, God moves at the pace of relationships, so he's right there for you. So man, maybe you have something that you need to pray to surrender. Maybe you got to repent of something. Maybe there are some areas in your life that you do need to say, God, help me to be able to get rid of this. I want to slow down. I want to notice the people that you've placed in my life. And I want to be able to be used of you to bring your kingdom now. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this last song. And so if you need to pray, man, you make that happen. You need to come forward. You can come forward. But if not, then let's declare these things because our God sees you. He loves you. And he knows exactly who you are and where you are. So let's walk with him.